Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
American public overwhelmingly voted for socialism when they elected President Obama. Let's not act as though the president didn't tell the American people.
In the studio.
The president promised the American people health reform when he ran. He was overwhelmingly elected running on that, and he has delivered what he promised. I don't understand Republicans saying this is against the will of the American people. They voted for President Obama, who said this was going to be one of the first things he would do, and he's done the first hurdle of that tonight.
Good evening. I know you're there. I can hear the...
Good morning.
Is it morning? Not yet. Almost. Not in California. Which is my watch set, too. As we have all said many times, it's great pride and great humility that we undertook this great act of patriotism.
What?
That occurred on the House floor tonight.
Communist slime.
We honored the vows of our founders for us to be a land of
founders?
Opportunity.
They were not the communists like you, Pelosi.
In the Declaration of Independence, talking about...
It was written to prevent us from having a despot like you appear on the scene.
That defines opportunity. So, too, did this bill tonight.
Liar, liar, skirts on fire. Play Blue Monday on the Savage Nation before I get started.
Blue Monday. Got to work like a slave all day.
So the gutter snipe, Al Sharpton of Freddy's Fashion fame and of Tawana Brawley fame, says that we elected Obama in order to usher in socialism and we shouldn't be surprised. And Nancy Pelosi congratulates herself with both humility and pride, not understanding that she just made a bigger moron of herself than she already is. How do you feel today knowing what Pelosi and Obama have done to America and to you? How do you feel today knowing that Pelosi the hammer used every trick in the book, something you would expect from a nation in South America, to force socialized medicine upon the American people against the will of the people? As you know, Sharpton is a liar. In my opinion, he's lied about everything, which is why he's welcome on Fox, and I am not. Apparently, honest men need not apply for appearances on Fox News. Everybody knows that every poll showed that they were against socialized medicine. But Al Sharpton goes on Fox News and says, Obama was elected overwhelmingly in order to introduce socialism, and that's what the American people wanted. 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms. So says Investors Business Daily by David Hogberg. 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms. Now, unlike the golfer who lifts things whole from Michael Savage on a regular basis and claims it to be his own, I will actually give credit where credit is due, because I'm a big enough person, I've created so many ideas of my own, that I feel no threat to credit people when they actually write something. So I'm going to actually quote David Hogberg of Investors Business Daily in 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms. Unlike the golfer who has lifted my show from last week repeatedly today, and claiming that they are his ideas. It's sickening. You know, when we're living with liars on the left, when we're fighting the good fight against the demon cat socialists, that's bad enough. But when we have to fight people who wrap themselves in the flag and claim to be better and different, and in fact they're really the same, it makes it almost impossible to get up here every day with a good heart and good feelings about it. You got the other one running a charity where the charity has most of the money in a trust for the children when they turn 18, claiming that he's as clean as the driven snow. I don't think so. And I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to buy into these lies anymore. It's enough coming from the left, but don't think I'm going to sit here and take it from those who wrap themselves in the flag and claim to be right-wing conservatives or Republicans when, in fact, they're the same damn thing as the Democrat Party. How do you feel today knowing what Pelosi and Obama have done to you? 20 Ways Obamacare Will Take Away Freedoms by David Hogberg, Investor's Business Daily. One, let's say you're a young person and you say, I don't want health insurance, I don't need it, right? Or you're starting up a small business and you need to minimize expenses. And one way to start your new business, if you're young, is to forget health insurance. Too damn bad. You have to pay $750 annually for the privilege, Section 1501 of Castro Obamacare. Two, let's say you're young and healthy, and you want to pay for insurance that reflects your youth and your health. Too damn bad. You're going to have to pay for premiums that cover not only you, but also the guy who smokes 3 packs a day, drinks a gallon of whiskey, and eats chicken fat off the floor. That's because insurance companies will no longer be able to underwrite on the basis of a person's health status. Section 2701 of Castro Obamacare. Three, you would like to pay less in premiums by buying insurance with lifetime or annual limits on coverage, right? Too damn bad. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer such policies, even if that's what customers prefer. Section 2711 of Cuba, Castro, Obamacare. Four, think you'd like a policy that is cheaper because it doesn't cover preventive care or doesn't require cost sharing for such care? Tough. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer policies that do not cover preventive services or offer them with cost sharing, even if that's what the customer wants. Section 2712 of Obama's Cuba Care. Now, 20 Ways Obamacare Will Take Away Freedoms includes the following. Let's say you're an employer of a small business, and you'd like to offer coverage that does not allow your employer's slacker children to stay on the policy until they're 26 years of age. Too damn bad. Now they can stay at home, and they're going to get coverage until they're 26 years of age. Section 2714 of Castro Obamacare. Now, here's the best one. You must buy a policy. You must pay for a policy. You must pay for a policy that includes all the following. Ambulatory patient services. Those are the ambulance racketeers. Emergency services. That would be illegal aliens who have a bloody nose or a runny nose. Hospitalization. Maternity and newborn care. Mental health and substance abuse disorder services, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative and habilitative services and devices, lab services, preventive and wellness services, chronic disease management and pediatric services, including oral and vision care. Well, let's say you're a single guy without children. Too damn bad. Even if you voted Obama because you're a useful moron, you single people, your policies must cover pediatric services. You're a woman who can't have children, you never wanted them, or you can't have them. Too damn bad. Your policy must cover maternity services. You're a teetotaler, you don't drink alcohol. Too damn bad. Your policy must cover substance abuse treatment. And you must pay for junkies treatment. Section 1302 of Castro Cuba Obamacare. Shall I go on? Because there are 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms. They're all up on Investors Business Daily, linked up for convenience on michaelsavage.com on the bottom right. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. How do you feel today knowing what Pelosi, the hammer, and Obama has done to you? As you know, yesterday, Pelosi, the hammer, passed health care by 7 votes, using any means necessary. And what were her means? She personally lobbied 68 wavering Democrats, using what one anonymous Democrat congressman called scary tough tactics. Pelosi forced out Eric Massa and ruined his life forever with gay smears. She used earmarks in the bill to buy the votes of uncommitted Democrats. Yesterday, Pelosi wielded an enormous 2-foot-long sledgehammer, like gavel, before the bill was passed. This was the same one used when Medicare was passed in 1965. This is a scheming Machiavellian left-wing radical. The far left of the Demon Cat Party is turning Nancy Pelosi into their hero. They're calling Pelosi the Iron Lady of American politics. But make no mistake about it, the only thing iron about her is her will to power. And remember this also, iron rusts. And what has Pelosi the hammer wrought upon America? mandatory insurance for every American with a fine if you refuse. The government will impose a 3.8% payroll tax if you make over 200 grand. That's even though Obama said he would not attack the middle class. Your premiums will go up. The government will tax insurance companies $6.7 billion a year. The hammer is coming down hard. But Pelosi would do well to keep her hammer handy. Though Obamacare has passed the House, it must first pass the Senate again. The Republicans could still stop it there. And even if Obama signs it into law, there will be numerous constitutional challenges to Pelosi care. And there seems to be rumbling amongst the peasantry. Word has reached Pelosi the hammer that a plot is afoot to oust her from her castle. If Pelosi doesn't keep her followers in line, she just might find that her hammer isn't so ironclad come November. This is the Savage Nation. The question again is, how do you feel today knowing what Pelosi and Obama have done to America? I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Pelosi the hammer smashed America's free market health system. Al Sharpton, a very reliable man known for his honesty in the Detective Pagonis case, his honesty in the Freddy's Fashion Mark story, says that America voted for socialism when they voted for Obama, and that the American people want the country transformed along the lines of Chavez's nation. Now, he didn't say Chavez, but I did. Because when you say socialism, don't think it's benign. It is aimed at destroying your freedoms. It is aimed at destroying the middle class. Obamacare has won, but your pain has just begun. Oh, yes, Nancy Pelosi is gloating. Liberals are gloating, but it's a blunder of major proportions. Sally Pipes is a brilliant lady, and she is the president and CEO of the Pacific Research Institute. She says that this does not come close to providing universal insurance, and it bends the costs up, not down. Did you know that Obamacare expands Medicaid, cuts Medicare, and adds billions of dollars in new taxes and mandates just as these monies are needed to put Americans to work? In other words, nothing much is going to happen immediately, but very soon many, many things will happen. The bill immediately redefines youth to age 26, mandating that all group and individual health plans cover adult children up to that age. In other words, the dope-smoking idiots who stay at home will now be covered as children. That's going to increase your premium even if you're a poor working person. Now, I want to talk about the $20 billion tax hikes that are going to be imposed upon drug manufacturers and medical device companies. Unlike Obama, I've actually worked for a living. Unlike Al Sharpton, I've actually worked for a living. Unlike the left-wing fanatics in the Obama administration, I've actually worked for companies. And unlike these left-wing Marxist-Leninists, I have once worked for a PhD, and I once worked for a master's degree and another master's degree and earned them all. And along the way, I worked in the R&D area of pharmaceutical development. And I learned that it cost, 20 years ago, it was costing something like $800,000 to bring a new drug to market. I have no idea what it costs to bring a new drug to market today. But to people like Obama, who have never really run a business, never worked for a living, they don't understand it by taxing the pharmaceutical manufacturers. And by the way, I have no relationships with any today. What they're going to do is kill research and development in America. This nation has provided the world possibly most of the drugs that the whole world enjoys today. Most of the drugs in the world were developed in America today. I cannot think of any major drug truly that was developed, for example, in Syria. I'm struggling to define one major medicine that was developed in China. I'm struggling in my mind to think of one major drug that was developed in Cuba. I cannot think of one major medication or drug, if you wish to put it that way, that was discovered in Venezuela and brought to market in Venezuela. No, they were all, by and large, created and brought to market in the United States of America, with few exceptions. The British along the ways have done some good work, as I've told you. But by and large, most pharmaceuticals have been developed at great expense in America, with the very, very difficult approval process set in place by the FDA, and probably rightly so, The costs are very, very high. I don't know what they are today. I can only imagine they would be in the hundreds of millions of dollars in order to invest. See, Mr. Obama doesn't know what invest means. Nancy Pelosi doesn't know what invest means. They know only about taking. They don't know about giving or investing or taking chances. They know only about taking from the middle class. And so the pharmaceutical companies had to invest and take a chance. They paid researchers. The researchers take their time. And then if they find a drug that shows promise, they have to apply for a new drug application, an NDA, if I remember correctly. That goes through a laborious process. Then the drugs have to be tested on animals and all the way up the chain until eventually this pharmaceutical might be approved. And I say might after hundreds of millions of dollars were spent for sale to help people. Obama's now going to take out the incentive to make those investments. He's going to kill research and development. We are moving towards becoming a third world nation. Obama has dragged this country into the gutter before. He has humiliated the image of the United States of America by bowing down to the king of Saudi Arabia, by bowing down to the premier of China, both dictatorships. This man has humiliated America every step of the way. He has sullied the past of America by spitting on it. Do you know that one of the things this guy did, this piece of work, Obama, I am so sick and tired of talking about him in hushed tones, like because he's of mixed race, you can't say anything against him. I am sick of it. He's a low-class act. It has nothing to do with race. It has to do with behavior. Obama is a low-class act. One of the first things this piece of work did was remove the bust of Winston Churchill from the Oval Office. Think about that. Winston Churchill, who stood almost alone against Adolf Hitler, this low-class act called Obama removed a bust of Churchill. Now, why would he do that? Need he put a bust of Mao Zedong in there for you to finally get the message? You morons, you. I am telling you who did this to us. You did it to us. You did it to us, you middle-class fools who thought you were getting something better than Bush in voting for Obama. You were the useful idiots that this Leninist used.
Savage.
So in the last segment, I told you that amongst the other devastations that will occur as a result of this Cuba-style health care plan, the $20 billion in tax hikes imposed on medical device companies, as well as the new taxes on drug manufacturers, will likely kill R&D in the United States of America, the chief engine for new medications for the world. And I just want to update it. I got it from a friend that to bring a new drug to market costs approximately $500 million to $2 billion. I want to repeat that again, because most of you have no idea what it costs to develop a new drug. $500 million to $2 billion to go through the laborious process of R&D and all of the legal hurdles to reach the point of bringing a drug to market. And so if you are glad at the fact that we're going to be less productive with new devices and new medications, I recommend that you understand where this is going. Now let's go to the big issue today. Can this Frankenstein be repealed? Can Frankenstein be repealed? We have with us Jay Sekulow of the American Center for Law and Justice. Mr. Sekulow, welcome. Where are you? What line? Okay, Jay, welcome. You're online too. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Can this be repealed effectively? I know that there's going to be talk about it, but are the Republicans serious about it?
Well, I think they're going to try, but I think, and you've been saying this for a long time in the last couple of weeks, the reality is once these things become law, once it's signed by the president, it's very difficult to get a repeal. It would take such a massive change in the Congress in the next election, in the midterm elections. And then you've still got to face veto possibilities. So it's a long shot. I think what you're going to see, and I know this for a fact, is litigation starting tomorrow. And this has got really serious constitutional defects. And I think that's going to be where a lot of the effort is. There will be attempts on repeal. There is going to be even attempts to have the reconciliation package going to the Senate amendment, what they're calling. This is the changes that to try to get the House language the way the House members thought they were voting on it through the Senate. That's going to face some hurdles. But look, once the president signs it tomorrow, the reality is we're going to be stuck with this until the court says it's unconstitutional.
Well, that's the next question. I phrased the question perhaps wrongly when I said, can this monster be repealed? You actually answered another question by saying there will be lawsuits because it's unconstitutional. How do the two questions differ?
Well, they don't in a sense, because if it's deemed unconstitutional by a court, it is effectively null and void. It is, in fact, it's more than repealed at that point. It's not an act of the legislature doing the repeal. It's the judiciary, but it stops it dead in its tracks. Now, the question will be, in this particular situation, I'll give you kind of a quick summary of what we've got. You've got 37 states right now that have pending legislation requiring, Michael, their state attorney generals to sue the federal government over the constitutionality of the health care bill. Pending in 37 states, it's already through over a dozen. Virginia and Florida will file this week. Our organization, the American Center for Law and Justice, we're filing on behalf of individual members, because individual citizens, because of this mandate that you buy insurance, whether you like it or not.
Right.
And also, we're going to be joining in some of these suits filed by the attorney generals through filing briefs with the courts. So there's going to be a whole series of it. But yes, net effect, you're right. It's the same. It's repealed. It's stopped. It's deemed unconstitutional. And it's over. But this is going to be a fight, ultimately, to the Supreme Court of the United States. But I expect it to move fairly quickly.
Well, here's the question. We know from the FDR days when he overreached that the Schechter brothers, I'm sure you're very familiar with that case, correct?
The steelworkers cases, all those cases, a whole series of them, yeah.
Well, no, the Schechter brothers, the four kosher butchers from New York who we put in jail, and they came out and sued FDR and won, and his entire act was thrown out. The National Recovery Act was declared unconstitutional. So the little guy can win, can't they?
And it's going to be individual. Your audience is the plaintiff here, because it's going to be, it's great that the attorney generals are filing suit, and that's wonderful that some of them will do that. But it is individual citizens that will be filing suits or joining in existing suits that are filed in the next week or two that are going to make the difference here. And yes, you're talking about the four kosher butchers. There's also going to be the taxi cab driver in Topeka, the restaurant owner in Memphis. There's going to be a whole series of small businesses and individuals that are going to be filing these suits and can stop the whole thing dead in its tracks.
Well, look, one of the clauses is you must buy a policy that covers mental health and substance abuse disorder services. What if someone says, I don't want to pay for a junkie's treatment? Why should I be forced to pay for bad behavior? Is that a legal avenue that could be pursued?
Because they're arguing, here's what the Congress is saying. The Congress is saying, look, we've got the authority to do this because under the Constitution we get to regulate commerce. But, you know, they've never regulated commerce to make you buy something when you're not getting something in return. In other words, to have a driver's license, they can mandate you have to have insurance. Well, that makes sense because you're getting the privilege of a driver's license. What is your privilege here? If you don't buy this, you don't get to live in America anymore? I mean, is that what this deal is at the end of the day? And that's what I think the difference is going to be in these cases. And that's why you're right. It is your audience. It's people that listen to your broadcast like this, that are going to be the plaintiff in this lawsuit, in these lawsuits. And they're going to be the ones that stop this. It's not going to be the Congress at this point. It's not going to be the election in 2010, in just months away. It is going to be individual citizens saying, I'm not going to take this, and that I'm not. The privilege of living in America is not that the Congress gets to tell me what to do whenever they want to do it.
All right, Jay, we're going to give out the American Center for Law and Justice a website and email on how people can help you. And you and I are going to talk off the air about how I might help directly with my Savage Legal Fund. But I want to take another avenue here. And I brought this up 3 or 4 weeks ago. What if individuals wanted to opt out from having to buy insurance for religious reasons? As you must know, and no one wrote this today. I found this 4 weeks ago. The Amish and the Christian Scientists are excluded from having to buy insurance. Are you aware of that?
The only ones excluded from having to buy the insurance, though.
Right. They're the only ones excluded from having to buy insurance because their religious decrees do not approve of various aspects of this policy. Why couldn't people of other religions opt out based on religious principles, saying it's unfair to permit others of a different religion, such as the Amish and Christian Scientists? But I want to be out because I'm a Catholic and I oppose X, Y, and Z. I'm a Catholic and I oppose abortion. I don't want to be involved with this. Or I'm a Catholic and I oppose it because I don't want to treat drug addicts. I think that it's a moral sin to abuse your body that way. Or I'm Jewish and I oppose it for whatever the reasons are. Couldn't this initiate tens of millions of lawsuits?
This narrow exemption they put in place is so narrow. It is just really the Christian Science and the Amish. I mean, literally, that's what it is. Michael, you're not just coming up with this. That's what it says. And the reality is there are serious religious objections to this, and you mentioned the Catholics. The abortion issue is alive and well in this, unfortunately. I should say alive and a disaster in this, in that the executive order the president signed, absolutely not worth the paper it's written on.
Yes.
And the Planned Parenthood has already said that, by the way. They're saying it's meaningless.
Yes.
And you're right. But that brings up another serious challenge. It's the idea that you would only protect two religious minorities, but not other religious objectors and other religious dissenters, points to a First Amendment problem with this. I've been saying that for weeks, by the way, that that provision, which is not getting much attention, raises serious religious freedom issues, because this idea you'd protect these two groups, but nobody else, there's no way a court can approve that.
Well, I wrote a monologue on it like 3-4 weeks ago. Probably you and I came upon it on our own, but I think this is a monster method of getting through to the courts. Now, that brings us to the next thing, Jay, the courts. A lower court first, and then to the Supreme Court? What chance is there in a lower court?
It's going to depend. You know, I think the best strategy here, the one we're going to implement, is to file in multiple jurisdictions. But Washington, D.C. on these actually has been pretty good. There's a number of judges there that will take the issue of Congress's congressional authority, or lack thereof, very seriously. I've argued a lot of cases at the Supreme Court of the United States. And I'll tell you this. I met with our staff today, both in Washington and Virginia, and I said, look, I want a judicial count. I want to know how many justices are likely to go with us here. We'll have that analysis done in the next 24 hours. But I think there's five. And that's, you know, I was not a math major, but at the Supreme Court, there's 9 justices. You get to 5, you carry the day. And I think the reality is that it'll have to go through the district court, court of appeals, and then ultimately the Supreme Court. But this is not typical litigation. There's not a lot of factual dispute. There's no depositions of the significant kind you find in regular litigation. Mm. So this can move. I've done statutory cases that have moved from the beginning to the end in 20 months. Mm. So it's possible that this is wrapped up in a 18 to 24-month period all the way up.
Well, I want to reiterate to the listeners who are very, very sad today by the brutal dictatorship tactics of, let's say, a thug, that were used by Pelosi and company to ram this through against the will of the people without real serious debate. It was just simply done by fiat, in essence, under the guise of a democratic process. That I got to go back to the Schechter brothers. Here were four little kosher butchers who objected to the major piece, centerpiece of FDR's legislation. He put them in jail, by the way, because they wouldn't comply. They came out of jail and they sued the government, and they won. These were four butchers who literally derailed socialism under FDR. It can happen again, couldn't it, Jay?
It has happened in our history multiple times, and I think it will happen again. The reality is it's going to be the American people taking this to court and taking a stand that's going to make the difference here at the end of the day.
Now, your American Center for Law and Justice, how do people help you?
Is to go to aclj.org. We've got a lot of information posted online. The litigation is already under. I mean, we're drafting. You got to wait till the president signs. Obviously, you got to find the right plaintiffs. There'll be plenty out there of people that could bring a lawsuit here. And the idea, we're a membership organization, so people can make donations online if they care to at aclj.org. But we've got a tremendous amount of information available on the website, and I encourage people to go. That's the best way to contact us.
How many members does the ACLJ have? Are you able to tell us?
A little over 1,200,000.
And how many members does the ACLU have?
About 2 million.
You're that big?
Yeah, they're bigger than us.
No, but you're that big, you're closing in on them at that rate? That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse, because I know you're really on the right side of things. I mean that two ways, to the truth. I'm going to ask you at some point to send me, by email, a link to your site directly related to this issue. I will post it on michaelsavage.com. We get 1.8 million visitor uniques every month on Michael Savage, and I'm going to put it up there for as long as possible and see if people can go directly to you with donations, et cetera, because this is something we all got to draw together with here. We can't be divided with individuals trying to take credit and get some limelight. I'd rather see your organization run with it, because you seem best equipped for the battle, Jay.
Well, I appreciate that and very much, more than you know.
Jay Sekulow, thank you very much for all you do and for being with us on the Savage Nation. It is exactly 45 minutes after the hour. I'm exactly Michael Savage. America has exactly been hijacked by socialists. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The mic is alive with great concern throughout the United States of America. Everybody understands that this was done through coercion. Everyone understands this was done against the will of the governed. Everyone understands now, if they haven't before, and I'm talking about thinking people. Everyone who has a brain, everyone who can reason, everyone who can think, even the useful idiots who thought they were getting something other than what they got, now understands that Obama is a naked Marxist-Leninist and that Pelosi is not a Marxist-Leninist at all. She is simply the hammer for very special interests. And they have used this handsome young man with a deep voice to get what they want. What they don't understand is that eventually this handsome young man with a superb voice will eventually turn on them. It's been done in every case like this before. They use a charismatic young man to get the power that they are craving, thinking that they can continuously use him as a tool. What they do not realize is that eventually the tool will eject them. The tool will eventually turn on them. And that, my friends, has not yet happened. If you think this is bad, I agree with you. And I agree that, as I wrote several books ago, that America's future now hangs like a loose tooth. I'm not so sure the tooth is even in the mouth. I think that America has become toothless, like the old man it really is. A toothless old man that yaps a lot but has no bite. 1-800-449-8255. How do you feel today seeing that this has happened? San Francisco 860 on the dial. Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. Hey, listen, I am absolutely appalled at what has occurred over the night on Sunday. This is maybe, I think, the fourth time that has ever been a vote on a Sunday night. Are you kidding me? I want to use...
Right. Why would Nancy Pelosi need to do this on a Sunday night? Why would she choose Sunday night? I think the answer is in the question, don't you?
I really don't know, Doctor.
Why would she use the darkness of a Sunday when most people are resting from a hard week of work with R&R? Why would she do this? The answer is because everything these Democrat socialists do is done in secrecy and in the dark.
Point exactly. And the picture that I saw on the television with the sledgehammer that represent gavel.
Does she not understand that it shows her at her worst? Yet she gloats in this apparent, I would say almost schizophrenic exhibition of a madness for power. She does not understand that this actually revolts people.
It's unbelievable. You know, she has a vineyard up here, whatever. But listen, you know.
I hear you, my friend. You're not alone. We all know that she's a despised individual, but she could care less. She's got what she wants. The trillions of dollars that will float through her, the largesse that she can now control, certainly makes up for the contempt of what she considers to be useless Americans. That is 60-70% of the population. They mean nothing to her, in my opinion. Anthony in New York on WOR, you're next up. How do you feel today, Anthony?
How you doing, Dr. Savage? It's my parents fled Russia back in 1993 to come here for a better life, and they're just devastated by this bill. It's a complete nightmare. It's all around just what they fled, basically. And it's just
But the American people don't know what's coming, do they, Anthony? They're so naive that they think they're going to benefit from this. They do not understand that it's going to decrease their access and the quality of health care in America. They do not know this, do they, Anthony?
Absolutely not. They have no idea. My parents had to bribe doctors for any kind of minor surgery or anything that had to be done. It was just...
Well, that would suit this Democrat socialist administration just fine, wouldn't it? In that way, many, many people would benefit. You know, the money could be flowing in many different directions. There'll be a new sort of underground economy. I was told by a previous Russian caller last week that in the ex-Soviet Union, they had to bribe ambulance drivers who actually picked up taxi passengers on the way to the hospital.
That's right. I heard that call. Yes, I completely agree. My parents, they've been telling me stories. They're saying the American people don't know what's coming to them.
No, they don't. And you know what? They really don't. And it's a product of many things, and I don't want to go into it now, Anthony. I'm actually in the midst of finishing a new book that will be out around September, October. That's going to be the definitive book on the subject of Obama's Marxist-Leninist roots and actions and what it's doing to this country and how to stop him. And I'm telling you, I know this inside and out. I've studied Marx. I've read all of Marx. I've read Engels. I've read Trotsky. I've read every one of them when I was 18 years old. So believe me, Anthony, you're not speaking to an average American talk show host here. I didn't begin by spinning records in a disc jockey booth while smoking marijuana.
That's why I've been listening to you for over 7 years.
Well, Anthony, it's on one hand a sad day, but I don't sound sad, do I, Anthony?
I'm actually surprised.
Do you know why I don't sound sad? Because
no.
I think that the average rube has finally had a rude awakening. The average American rube has finally had the rude awakening that we have been trying to help him with for a long time now. We try to warn you Obama was a naked Marxist. Well, we put it in nice terms. We said socialist because we thought that would sell. But old McCain, stupid old dumb McCain, had the chance of a lifetime to defeat Obama many times, and instead he chose to lose. He was the fall guy for the Republican Party who had raped America, who had raped the Statue of Liberty for 8 straight years. And so after they raped the Statue of Liberty for 8 straight years, the Republicans said, time for us to get out of the spotlight. Let's throw it to the other guys. You know, they haven't had their turn for a while since Clinton. So they throw it to the other guys. They could care less who won. But they don't understand that they got more than they bargained for in this Democrat administration. What they don't understand is that something fundamental has happened here. Obama uses a very interesting word about what he's doing. And that word is transform. The word also transformational is used. This is a code word that is often found in communist literature. But if you're not a reader of communist literature, most Americans can't even say the word. Think about the number of syllables. Transformational. Oh, forget it. Don't know what it means. Let's just deal with two-syllable words at most. He's just a nice young man with a good deep voice who simply wants to help all of the downtrodden. So you think, do you?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
American public overwhelmingly voted for socialism when they elected President Obama. Let's not act as though the president didn't tell the American people. The president promised the American people health reform when he ran. He was overwhelmingly elected running on that, and he has delivered what he promised. I don't understand Republicans saying this is against the will of the American people. They voted for President Obama, who said this was going to be one of the first things he would do, and he's done the first hurdle of that tonight.
As we have all said many times, it's great pride and great humility.
You can't, that we, Nancy, not at the same time.
This great act of patriotism.
Patriotism?
That occurred on the House floor tonight.
You put a knife in Lady Liberty's heart.
Of our founders, for us to be a land of
opportunity. Founders? You shouldn't even be able to say the word founders.
Country in the Declaration of Independence, talking about life, liberty,
you're everything that they feared. You and Obama are
that
everything the American people have
so
been warned against.
Tonight.
I can't believe what I'm listening to. This is right out of Leni Riefenstahl. Goebbels said if you tell a big lie often enough, it'll become the truth. Well, let me tell you something. You can fool some of the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you can't fool Michael Savage any of the time. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Pelosi the Hammer is absolutely wrong. The founders never wanted socialism. The founders worked against the autocracy of Britain. The founders wanted individual liberty, not the tyranny of an overbearing government. They are the exact opposite of what the founders envisioned. Now, in the last hour in the Savage Nation, we talked about all of these things. We talked about the damage this will do to the healthcare system in the United States of America. I especially focused upon something that I haven't read anywhere, truthfully. We all know the damage to Medicare, Medicaid, and that they're now going to insure people who are not worthy of insurance because they mistreat themselves, and we have to pick up the pieces for them. I mean, if you're an Ayn Rand fan, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, if a person puts themselves in the gutter by their behavior, it's my responsibility to pay for the gold-plated health care treatment. Are you crazy? That's not my responsibility. But anyway, one of the hidden facts that ignoramuses along the lines of Al Sharpton would never understand, since he's never held a real job in his life, about socialized medicine, suddenly he thinks it's glorious, and the American people want it. Well, as a matter of fact, even though the schmucks voted for Obama, he ran as a moderate. But as you well know, he was lying. He was running as a moderate, while in fact he's been a Marxist-Leninist from the beginning. All you got to do is know his history, whether you go back to the Saul Alinsky, who you all know about, but go into the Piven School, the Frankfurt School. You understand he was a stealth Marxist. He is now an open Marxist. So you say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, that's for another day. You hear the word Marx, you don't really know what it means. You think it means communism, but you don't really know what that means. You think it's all the people share equally and everyone has a better life and the greedy fat pigs on top are all executed and it's a better world. But it's not really that way. What it is, it's an attack upon all of the people all of the time. And the only people who have a relative freedom in those countries are the bureaucrats, the government bureaucrats who answer directly to the czar himself. But even they have to watch their back because they're here today in favor today. The next day they're in the gulag. They don't understand that yet. The Democrats who are gloating today don't understand that they'll be treated the same way that fellow from New York State was treated last week, whose name we have all forgotten. The man who dared stand up as a Democrat and say, hell no, I won't go, who they then smeared with gay allegations. And this is doubly insulting as far as I am concerned. What's interesting to me is here is a party that claims to be in favor of minority interests, in favor of gay interests, and yet they didn't even think twice about smearing him with gay allegations that he groped boys, he groped men, and tried to ruin his life. Because when it comes to Marxism, evil has no limitations. I want you to understand that. We do know in its extremes it leads to re-education camps, and then, of course, to work camps, and then, of course, to death camps. We know that the secret police take people off the streets in Marxist regimes, and they disappear. Sometimes they're tortured and killed. So other times they're simply re-educated and released. We're certainly nowhere there at all in the United States of America. And I frankly doubt that we will be there, and I'll tell you why. They don't need to do that here. When you own the press, as Obama does, when you have seen the Fourth Estate become the fifth column, as I've been explaining to you for weeks now, why do you need to resort to such tactics? You don't. In other words, if you can get away with character assassination, as has been done to many individuals, the congressman last week, and I'm not going to play the victim here, but remember, I'm not going to let you think otherwise, Michael Savage is still banned from entering Britain owing to character assassination orchestrated by the United States government back under the Bush years. I'm convinced as I stand here it emanated from the Bush White House. I don't blame Obama at all. I know how this started and when it started. And it started under Bush. Bush hated Michael Savage. Why? Because I told you for the last 2 years of Bush that the man was a fiscal socialist. How many times did I say that in this show? George Bush, the fiscal socialist, turned the country over to the crooks on Wall Street who created a financial crisis, one, to profit personally, and number two, to destroy the financial system so they can then step in and save America from insolvency, so they said. And so they came up with TARP, given only to their cronies. They came up with other things such as the stimulus bill, which has helped virtually nobody except their own friends. And so it's a combination of interests here. You have the greedy pigs who put Obama in office who are benefiting wildly. Then you have the hardcore ideologues, the Marxists, the Leninists, the Trotskyites, the Stalinists, all the way up and down the range, from mere European-style socialists who want a mild form of socialism to the most despotic types who would like to see death camps in the country. In fact, one of Obama's old friends, Bill Ayers and his friends, are well quoted as saying, if we have to kill 30 million people, so what? It'll be a better country. I don't believe that ever will happen here for one reason. Not because this group is above it, but because, you see, they don't have to resort to that. There's no need to go there. When you have a compliant press, a fourth estate, which has become the fifth column, you can get away with virtually anything. You can say this, and it'll be said as that. You can declare it's going to help everybody when, in fact, it doesn't help everybody. You can say that you're granting amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens because you care about the poor illegal Hispanics when, in fact, you just want a mandate to become a president for life. You can get away with anything when you own the media, and he owns the media. Make no mistake about it. Obama and the media are one. Now, in 1997, I gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club when they were still permitting conservatives to speak there. In fact, I may have been the one and only at the time. And I gave a speech entitled Beware the Government Media Complex. Of course, it was a takeoff on Eisenhower's Beware the Military-Industrial Complex. It was a clever statement, I realize, borrowed in essence from the military-industrial, Beware the Government Media Complex. But it wasn't meant in jest. Folks, I do not jest. Sometimes I joke around, but there's a reason for it. And I will tell you again, I am working on a book, the definitive book, on Obama's Marxist-Leninist origins, Obama's Marxist-Leninist controllers, and what is coming in this great nation, unless you, the people, wake up and do something about it. You say, well, we tried to do something about it. It was too late. Well, it's not over. In the last hour, we had a gentleman on named Jay Sekulow, the chief attorney for the ACL. Jay, isn't it? The American, I don't remember the name of the group, truthfully. American, ACLJ, whatever. They're the right side of things. They have 1.2 million members, and they fight the left in court. Mr. Sekulow has argued before the Supreme Court numerous times, he told us. And he claims there's going to be, of course, immediately state lawsuits, which we know about. But he appealed to the listeners of this program to go out and file individual lawsuits against this healthcare Frankenstein on many different ways. American Center for Law and Justice, thank you. And I, of course, raised the idea, the novel idea that I initiated on this show 4 weeks ago about suing on religious grounds. In other words, I was the first in the media, and perhaps to this day, the only. Of course, it'll be on the golfer show tomorrow, just as he lifted the whole thing about immigration today and called it his own. Tomorrow he will lift that. But the fact of the matter is, I was the first, but not the last, to divulge to you that I discovered three weeks ago that the Obama administration placated two distinct religious groups only who can opt out of Obamacare, the Amish and Christian Scientists. And I said that, of course, that makes sense for these folks because they don't believe in many of the principles of Obamacare. And so he cleverly carved out a special area for them. This, of course, violates the First Amendment. It violates several other amendments because it's not equal justice. It violates it because you as a Catholic, you as an Orthodox Jew, you as a Muslim could easily sue saying that you have been discriminated against on religious grounds. In that, only Amish can get out of this? Only Christian Scientists can opt out? What's wrong? Is my religion second class to Christian Science? Is Catholicism second class now to the Amish? Is Catholicism now second class to the Christian Science and Amish religions? There's not a court in the land that would find that Catholicism, for example, should be treated any differently than religious people in the other religions, such as the Amish and the Christian Scientists. And so, therefore, you have a whole avenue for potentially hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of individual lawsuits. You say it'll go nowhere. You're wrong. And I cited the very critically important Schechter case from 1941, I believe, which we covered 2 weeks ago on The Savage Nation, in immense detail. And I'll tell you about it again the minute I return, how four little butchers from Brooklyn, New York, little kosher butchers, stood up to FDR in 1941. He put them in jail for daring to have the audacity to say no to his socialism. And by the way, FDR was a role model, in part, for Obama, as you know. in the early days, remember the schmucks at Time magazine even made believe that Obama was in the shadow of FDR. Little did they know, huh? But FDR had grandiose ideas. He borrowed from Stalin. He borrowed from Mussolini. And he brought socialism to the United States of America, with mixed results, by the way, some good, some bad. And FDR thought he could get away with anything. Guess what? These four little kosher butchers took FDR to court, his administration. They won. He lost. The National Recovery Act itself was declared unconstitutional. That was the centerpiece of FDR socialism. It was defeated. A dagger was driven through its heart. It can and will be done again. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Because we had the leadership of the President of the United States as a visionary, as a strategist, and as a persuader. It happened because in the House, our
right,
leadership...
Turn her off. Now, a new poll came out from CBS News, very left-wing, and it says that she has a low favorability rating of 11%. That's right. This self-important lunatic has a favorability rating of 11%, with an unfavorability of 37%, 3-1. What world do these people live in? How in the world can they get away with this? I'm looking at it, linked up from CBS on Michael Savage, and I see her picture, Nancy Pelosi, with the hammer. And it says, favorability 11%, unfavorable 37%, views of Nancy Pelosi, by CBS News Polling Unit. And on the right side of the page is, get 3 tablets free for Levitra. Now, I don't know if this ad was selected specifically to go with the, the Nancy Pelosi picture. I'm not sure what the two, if have anything to do with, together with it or whatever. But this health care reform is the last straw for most Americans. Most of them don't even know what happened, actually. They're too stupid to know. Most of the people out there are ignorant of everyday life, and they think it's basically good, and that only the Republicans and the rich are against it because they're all fat cats. And then all the poor are going to benefit. Now, unto itself, if that were true, I would still oppose it for reasons that I will describe later on. But it's not true. The poor are actually going to get less care, not more care. The middle class is going to get hurt the most. Most of them don't know this because of the government media complex, where the fourth estate has become the fifth column. Okay? Most people are not aware of the fact that this entire administration is Marxist-Leninist at its core, and this is only the first step. Next step, as I described all of last week before it was picked up by the golfer today, as though he originated it. He's well known for, taking things without alliteration. I spent 3 days telling you that Obama's next going to use the same exact thug tactics developed in the gutters of Chicago with Rahm Emanuel and Nancy Lugosi. And they're going to demand amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens. They'll say 10 million, but you know the government lies about everything. My estimates are 25 to 30 million illegal aliens are in the United States of America at any one time. It's quite fluid, by the way. Now, that includes the prison population, of whom one-third are illegal aliens who came here to rape, murder, rob, run people over, drive drunk, run drugs. 1 out of 3 prisoners is an illegal alien. Never forget that. When you hear the glowing reports about how they all come here to work, it is true in many cases. They work very hard. We love them. We love the people. We love the culture. But we can't afford to have 30 million citizens from other countries be made instant citizens in the United States of America, because they will give Obama a lifetime mandate as president. I came up with this last week. It's all over the news today. I didn't get the credit, but it's okay. You heard it first here, and you know it. See, my loyal audience knows where they hear the ideas first, and that's okay. If you're running at the head of the sled, you know what view the other dogs get of your body, okay? So you're welcome to it, Limbaugh. Keep looking, because that's all you're ever going to see of me. You're not the chief dog when it comes to ideas. You may have a bigger audience, but I am getting so angry at having my ideas stolen by people who claim to be different than Obama or Pelosi. But if you scratch the surface, what you got is the same. You've got the same mentality, the same elites. Anyway, the point is, once the 30 million illegals are here, they can vote. He will have a mandate for life.
Savage.
There is a certain newswoman who's been bouncing around the networks for decades. She is not the illegitimate granddaughter of Tom Sawyer, as some say, although they share a similar surname. And she apparently interviews Nancy the Hammer tonight on her program, in which she says she is the most powerful woman in American history. The most powerful woman in 100 years. In other words, more powerful than Martha Washington, more important than all of the preceding women in American history, is none other than Nancy Pelosi, according to this woman by the name of Tom Sawyer. And so I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, do you think that that is a good thing for Nancy Pelosi to be running around gloating in the fact that she is the most powerful woman in 100 years? I will remind Miss Pelosi of a song done way back in the 70s by Jimmy Cliff. Let's play it now.
And then the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all. Ooh, the harder they come, the harder they'll fall, one and all.
America has seen quasi-mad egomaniacs before. I mean, I could name a few. Huey Long, you probably don't know who he is. But all of these mini-dictators who have appeared in America have eventually come to horrible ends, and we certainly don't wish that upon anyone in this administration, obviously. We certainly wish them the best. But I would say that history would dictate that people who run on pure power madness often end up with the exact opposite. It seems to be a quotient that nature itself has devised. I can give it to you in terms of the law of thermodynamics. I don't know whether it's the fourth or the third principle of thermodynamics. I kind of forgot my high school, my college physics. But one of the laws of thermodynamics would explain what I just said in mathematical terms better than I just put it in words. It's a bit clumsy, I admit, because I'm still thinking about it. But there are very few cases in history of people who are this power mad, this self-absorbed with their own importance and power, who have enjoyed, let us say, the fruits of their power. I don't have to give you, grotesque examples of Mussolini or of the fellow from Austria who did such terrible things to the world and how his thousand-year Reich came crashing down around them. But, you know, the people hate power-mad people. I got to tell you, the average person out there actually hates people who gloat in their power. They despise them. They can't stand them. They don't like it. They even like false humility. They want even false humility. They don't want absolute power waved in their face. And eventually the people will be heard. One way or the other, it happens. Whether it happens through the electorate or through fate itself, but it happens. I'm telling you it does. This will not last forever. No one's power lasts forever. Lord Acton said it best, and I've said it so many times on the show, but it's so appropriate tonight on the Savage Nation. Lord Acton said, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. If he was not talking about Nancy Pelosi and Obama, I'd like to know who he was talking about. What has to happen till you people understand what we are living with right now? Do you actually think this woman has the best interests of the American people at heart? Are you that naive that you think that Obama has the best interests of the little guy at heart? Are you that naive to believe any of this? If you are, then you deserve what's coming. If you are not believing of that, I think you should take courage in the fact that petty dictators have arisen before all over this earth, and they never, ever last. We are living through a small dictatorship in this country. I realize that O'Reilly the Leprechaun, I know it's close to, still close to St. Paddy's Day, and you have to understand that the Blarney was running even higher last week than weeks before it. But I realized that Corned Beef had the audacity to say that Obama has the interests of the American people at heart, to show you that you can literally get away with virtually anything if you have enough power for a short period of time is certainly a truism. But my friends, this way to the egress is also a truism. And Abe Lincoln had it best, or said it best, rather, when he said the following. And it was taught to me by my dad in the streets of New York when I was a little kid. He grabbed my little hand and walked me down Longfellow Avenue. I can remember it almost to this day. I don't want to be too hokey and homey, but I will tell you, that's when I heard it. My father was an immigrant from Russia. He was not formally educated, but he was fairly well-read with regard to politics. He was not scholarly in any way. A genius he wasn't, but he was smart enough to have gotten himself here and, you know, through his father and gotten himself a foothold in America. And, of course, it was also that the man-child in the promised land, meaning I, could do better than him. That's the way America used to be. The son was supposed to exceed the father. Unfortunately, under Obama, he would like to make it so that the son does worse than the father, especially if you're not one of the chosen of the Democrat Party. But we'll leave that for the book that I'm writing. And Dad took me by the hand. I can remember the sun striking the buildings as he walked down the avenue. And he said, you know, Michael, there was a president named Abe Lincoln. You probably heard about him in school. Yeah, Dad, blah, blah, blah. I could care less what he was going to say to me. He said, now listen to me. Listen to me, he said. I said, okay, Dad. He said, Abe Lincoln, who freed the slaves, said the following. He said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Play Tom Sawyer's illegitimate granddaughter now.
Pretty amazing things being said. The Economist said that you are arguably the most powerful woman in American history. A Brown University professor said you are certainly the most powerful speaker in 100 years.
Sounds good. I don't take it personally.
Oh, really? Oh.
I take it as a compliment for all women, because as the first woman speaker, I certainly
all right, stop.
Want...
I don't want to hear the woman thing. I guess I'll tell you something right now. I'm going to go out on a limb right now. I will tell you that more women hate her than admire her. I know something about the nature of woman. Oh, I look up to women. I know how smart women are. And boy, I want to tell you something about women. They are also capable of other emotions. They're not all little women who need Nancy Pelosi to have victories for them, are they? And I will tell you this, that any woman of any degree of accomplishment, whether it be raising a family or building a $700 million a year business, any woman of any self-worth despises this woman. That's my opinion. She's gloating right now. Play a little Jimmy Cliff as I catch my breath on the Stamp Act anniversary day. On a savage nation. The harder they'll fall, one and all. And by the way, turn it off now. By the way, it's interesting that that's come up on Nightline, that interview calling her the most powerful woman in 100 years from Tom Sawyer's illegitimate granddaughter, allegedly. Nightline has been after me for over 6 months since the Brandon Britton thing to go on the show. Ask my producer. And I was leery about him. I mean, I gave the New Yorker interview. It was fair. He got in May. I don't know what that's going to be like. I'm cautiously optimistic that it'll be somewhat fair. It'll be out mid-April. I will never go on Nightline, okay? Let's be clear. I knew what they wanted to do with me. If they have the nerve to put Nancy Pelosi on a pedestal, I can just imagine what they'll put me on. It ain't going to be granite. Let me put it to you that way. It wouldn't be a pedestal of granite. Let me put it to you that way. I feel good. Now, why do I surprisingly feel good? I'm a strange person. I admit that. There are days I come on this show and I'm very unhappy. There are days I come on the Savage Nation, I'm outright depressed. And I reflect it. I don't hide it. I don't put on an act for you in a way we all do. I mean, all of the world is a stage and all of that. As long as you're taking a breath, you're pretending something. If you're a human being, you're faking something. I don't care where you are, a hospital bed, you're still putting on an act. It's just the nature of the human being. We're all actors, some good, some bad. All of life is a stage. But really, if my emotions are in a certain way, I usually throw them out on the air. You know why? Because you don't last 16 years in radio, thank you very much. Yesterday was my 16th anniversary. Thank you for sending flowers. 16 years in radio, March 21st, 2010, was 16 years to the day that I had made my debut on radio in 1994. 16 years. You don't last 16 years by faking it. As Hemingway said, the truth has a certain ring to it. I suspect you know what that ring is. And I also think that you know that the sound of the bell coming from Nancy Pelosi and Obama sounds not so much like the Liberty Bell, but like some other kind of clarion call, and I don't think it's the Liberty Bell itself. But I'm actually happy today is the point. I don't want to lose my train of thought. It's easy to do when I get giddy, but I feel elated today. Why do I feel elated? Is it because I cooked scallops and spaghetti for lunch and I didn't get ptomaine poisoning yet, even though the bag was frozen 4 months ago and I was worrying if the scallops had gone bad and thus far I don't feel bad? Or is this by tomorrow, who knows what might happen? I don't think it was the scallops for lunch that I cooked. I think it's because I feel vindicated that so many hundreds of thousands of more Americans, or 100,000 more Americans, now recognize the danger that they are in. I feel better that they now know that we have an outright Marxist-Leninist slash socialist, if you will, in the White House. And you say to yourself, how the hell can you say that when Nancy Pelosi is the richest woman in Congress? She's not a Marxist, is she? Well, my friends, that's the lesson you haven't been taught yet. It's the one lesson that's missing from the American schools. You all think that Leninists or Marxists or Stalinists are poor. Well, my friends, there's a gentleman called George Soros. I don't know whether he's a Marxist or a Leninist or a Trotskyite or a Stalinist. I don't think any of those apply. I do know that he's a very wealthy man, and the man gets off on absolute power. I also know that he funded a group called Media Matters, which has smeared me, causing me to be banned in England. Took a year out of my life so far, but it hasn't yet gotten me off the radio. I have been struggling with it for a year. I'm not going to sit here and cry on your shoulder. Forget about it, okay? The point is, George Soros does not believe in individual liberty. George Soros, in my estimation, has contempt for you. George Soros despises you. George Soros thinks you shouldn't have the vote. Nancy Pelosi thinks that you're nothing. She likes to do things in the dark and secret. Nancy Pelosi despises the little person. And yet they're both very wealthy people. Many of those who funded Obama are enjoying the fruits of their labor. They're on Wall Street. Did they actually suffer? Those who destroyed Lehman Brothers? Those who benefited from the TARP funds? Have any of those suffered at all? No, they benefited from their politics. And so you could say, well, what are their politics? Well, I don't know. You could say their politics are self-interest. No, in many cases, they're actually radical left-wing social democrats or socialist democrats, whichever way you want to define it, where there's less power for the individual and much more power for a central government, where the people have a smaller voice and those who rule them have a very large voice. And eventually, the quotient becomes the people have no voice and the rulers have the only voice. It doesn't start that way, idiots, but it ends up that way. It starts somewhat small. But I remind you, even dwarfs started small. I remind you that great oaks from little acorns grow, and so do great tyrannies. Great tyrannies don't appear overnight. They grow like a cancer. Just as cancer doesn't begin in its entirety, cancer begins perhaps with one errant cell that goes wild and is not controlled by the immune system. My friends, the body politic has been invaded by a cancer. It is metastasizing before your eyes. Make no mistake about it. You are in danger. I shall return.
Savage.
So here is the real danger, which I described last week, which was picked up by the golfer today and is being offered by him as though he originated it. But as Lao Tzu said, it doesn't matter who uses your ideas, just that your ideas get used. Let me repeat what I said last week for 3 days while the golfer had his recorder running. If he has gotten away with this through the thug tactics that he developed and honed so well in Chicago with Rahm Emanuel and that group, and they have the most powerful woman in 100 years using tactics never seen in American history, by the way, incidentally, not by any man. Incidentally, no man could have gotten away with what Pelosi got away with. And incidentally, I'll go out on a limb, and I will say to you that it's unlikely that any Caucasian president could have gotten away with what Obama's gotten away with, but he was given a pass because of his status. I will be very frank with you. I know this is something everyone dances around, but it's very important for you to understand how this has happened. And I will stand by those words. In fact, in the early days of the Obama administration, they tried to use race, and it backfired on them, and they said, oh, no, no. Even he came out and said, no, no, it wasn't about race. They tried everything. That's how they play. They play dirty, so they try everything. But I said this to you last week. It's all going to be about race very soon, because Obama's now going to pander to the 30 million illegal aliens, most of whom are Hispanic, because he wants their vote. He will use the same thug tactics, as will Pelosi, and the limp-wristed Republicans will put up a fight. But I'm going to make a prediction. They won't even all vote against it. I will tell you as I sit here, they're going to get Republicans to vote with them for amnesty for illegal aliens. Just, they didn't get even one Republican to vote for the Cuban-style health care he just put in, did they? No. But they're going to get Republicans voting for the Hispanic vote. Mark my words. Mark who said it first. I know I'm right because they already have one. They already have the turncoat Lindsey Graham. Trial lawyer, by the way. I was on to him 3 years ago. Lindsey Graham turncoat has already said he's writing an amnesty bill with none other than Upchuck Schumer, the gutter rat from Sheepshead Bay. So you got the gutter rat from Sheepshead Bay, you got the slimy lawyer named Lindsey Graham, and they're already on the path to citizenship for 30 million illegal aliens, most of whom are Hispanic. Now, the reason Obama wants this so badly is to pay back La Raza, which is already in the White House. You say, La Raza? Who's La Raza? Well, they're the group called La Raza, which means the race. I can't imagine you don't know this, but she's sitting there in the White House, Cecilia Munoz, a lady I'm very familiar with. I've studied her for 15 years. Is actually in the White House in a major league position. And if you think that Obama's through with you, he's only begun. Now that he's gotten away with this, next he pays back the Hispanic lobbies. He grants them amnesty. And what does he get from it? Oh, the world is yours. The world is yours. Because he then can run again. Well, you know he's going to run again in 2012. God bless him. But what you don't know, he's going to run again in 2016, 2020, 2024, 2028, 2032 ad infinitum because of the following. Term limits will be eliminated. If they could pass Obamacare, which is transforming the free American medical system into something other than what it is, why can't they say, wait a minute, there were no term limits until 1940-something or other. In fact, it's a free country. Don't you believe in the freedom of the vote? Why would you restrict the vote to only two terms? That's very, very un-American. They'll quote George Washington. There was no term limits. They'll quote Jefferson. There were no term limits. They'll quote Lincoln. There were no term limits. And on. And they'll say, therefore, ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of freedom, we really respect our conservative brethren. We're going to pass a new bill. We're going to vote on it, of course, to eliminate term limits. And what's going to happen is once they eliminate term limits, Obama will be president for 40 years. And then, of course, as you well know, it's all over. I said this last week for 3 days straight. No one was listening except one man. One man with a tape recorder and a staff that wrote it down for him in very large letters. The man is named Rush Limbaugh. And now he's getting credit for it on my friend World Net Daily, Joe Farah's page, with the Constitution has been ripped. And elections could end thanks to Obama. Well, as I say, at least my listeners know where the idea originated. And I will tell you again that the most important thing for you to understand is that you can stop the Fidel Castro Obamacare that was hatched last night. The Frankenstein can be stopped with thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of lawsuits. And I will talk about some of the ideas I put out. A month ago, use religious freedoms to challenge Obamacare. I'm putting it up on michaelsavage.com tonight in order to give Rush Limbaugh some show prep for tomorrow. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Blue Monday on the Savage Nation.
Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play.
Now, the important thing to know today is that America's balance hangs like a loose tooth. I am proud to announce that Rush Limbaugh copied this concept today on his show, which is very nice to know because Lao Tzu warned me this would happen. He's being quoted as some kind of sage today by saying that Obama could take away our vote by granting amnesty to illegals. I spent all of last week talking about that, Beowulf, if you remember. It's stunning to me. I spent 3 days talking about it. Limbaugh talks about it today, and it's all over WorldNet Daily and Drudge. Can you believe this?
It's nice to know we have a good regular listener.
That is true. So amongst my 10 million listeners, now you know Rush Limbaugh is one of my most avid listeners. And, of course, the greatest form of flattery is what, copying?
That's right.
Thanks, Rush. I really appreciate it. There are 20 ways that Obamacare will take away freedoms. And this came out today in a great article from Investors Business Daily by David Hogberg. And unlike some talk show hosts who like to take articles as though they wrote them themselves without giving credit, I'm going to give credit to the 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms to the man who wrote it, David Hogberg. One, you're young and you don't want health insurance. You're starting up a small business and you need to minimize expenses. And one way to do that is to forego health insurance. Too bad. You have to pay $750 annually for the privilege, Section 1501. Two, you're young and healthy and want to pay for insurance that reflects that status of being young and healthy. Too bad. You'll have to pay for premiums that cover not only you, but also the guy who smokes three packs a day, drinks a gallon of whiskey, and eats chicken fat off the floor. That's because insurance companies will no longer be able to underwrite on the basis of a person's health status, Section 2701. Three, you would like to pay less in premiums by buying insurance with lifetime or annual limits on coverage? Too bad. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer such policies, even if that is what customers want. Four, think you'd like a policy that is cheaper because it doesn't cover preventive care or requires cost sharing for such care? Too bad. Health insurers will no longer be able to offer policies that do not cover preventive services or offer them with cost sharing, even if that's what the customer wants, Section 2712 of Socialist Obamacare. Five, you're an employer and you would like to offer coverage that doesn't allow your employer's slacker children to stay on the policy until they're age 26? Too bad. Section 2714 of CubaCare. Six, you must buy a policy that covers ambulatory patient services, emergency services, hospitalization, maternity and newborn care, mental health and substance abuse disorder services, including behavioral health treatment, prescription drugs, rehabilitative and habilitative services and devices, lab services, preventive and wellness services, chronic disease management, and pediatric services, including oral and vision care. So, tough luck if you're not a bum in the gutter, or if you're not pregnant, or if you're not a junkie. You're going to have to cover them all. Oh, you're a single guy without children and you voted for Obama? Tough. Your new policy must cover pediatric services. Oh, you're a woman who can't have children? Tough. Your policy must cover maternity services. Oh, too bad, all you Obama worshippers. Told you you'll get screwed. You're a teetotaler? Tough. Your policy must cover substance abuse treatment. Section 1302. Shall I go on the 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms? If this is too much for you, you can go to Michael Savage, where I linked it up from the IBD, David Hochberg. I'll read a few more. If you're an employer in the small group insurance market and you'd like to offer policies with deductibles higher than $2,000 for individuals and higher than $4,000 for families to keep costs down? Too damn bad. Section 1302 of Castro Obamacare. How about if you're a doctor and you don't want the government looking over your shoulder? Too damn bad. The Secretary of HHS is authorized to use your claims data to issue you reports that measure the resources you use, provide information on the quality of care you provide, and compare the resources you use, doctor, to those used by other physicians. Did you hear that? Of course, this will all be just for informational purposes, doctor. It's not as though the government will ever use it to intervene in your practice and patients' care. Of course not. That's Section 303.1 of the Castro Obamacare. If you're a doctor and you want to own your own hospital, you must be an owner and have a Medicare provider agreement by February 1, 2010. If you didn't have those by then, too bad. The government will take a fee of $2.3 billion a year from the pharmaceutical industry. If you're a pharmaceutical company, what you will pay depends on the ratio of the number of brand name drugs you sell to the total number of brand name drugs sold in the U.S. What does that mean? So if you sell 10% of the brand name drugs in the U.S., what you'll pay will be 10% multiplied by $2.3 billion, or what? $230 million? Wow. That's amazing. Now, if you're a pharmaceutical executive, do you know better how to use that money, say, for research and development? Too bad. Bonnie Frank will now tell you how to use the money. If you go for cosmetic surgery, you will pay an additional 5% tax on the cost of the procedure. Think you know how to spend that money you earn better than the government? Too damn bad. In sum, this is socialized medicine of the worst possible kind. As we've pointed out in the Savage Nation, if you're a small business owner, you get it the worst of all. Beginning in 2014, for example, many employers, those with 50 or more workers, could face federal fines for not providing insurance coverage. Also, dependent children up to the age of 26 will be eligible for coverage under their parents' plans instead of the current state-by-state rules that often cut off coverage for children at age 18 or 19. Did you hear this? And here's a real horrible one. Within 3 months of the laws taking effect, people who have been locked out of the insurance market because of a very serious pre-existing condition will be eligible for subsidized coverage through a new high-risk insurance program, which you will pay for even if you're healthy. Anyway, this is just the beginning of 20 ways Obamacare will take away freedoms. It can all be seen on michaelsavage.com. The bottom message to all Americans is from the Democrats to America, which is American citizens drop dead. San Francisco, Michael on 860 on the dial. Michael, what's on your mind?
Michael, you said you're speaking out of both sides of your mind. That is, yep, a sentence that only the great Michael Savage could enunciate.
Well, what I really wanted to say was you're speaking out of both sides of your hind, but it was a family show, so I couldn't do it.
Michael, I'm familiar with a book called The Road to Serfdom. I'm sure you know it.
Yes.
If I had to think of a document that would represent your show, the closest thing I could find, where is Michael Savage coming from? I think it's that book. Am I out of town?
No, you're not out of town. I'm an anti-communist. I've been an anti-communist all of my life because I see the devastation it has wrought around the world. I'm an anti-socialist because I know socialism is run by bureaucrats. I hate bureaucrats. Every interchange with a bureaucrat makes me want to smash my head through a plate glass window. Most bureaucrats are evil, mean, small-minded Lilliputians, whether it's a small zoning permit or something large. A bureaucrat is a bad person. They're not good people. So therefore, this is all wrong from Obama. He is a socialist slash Marxist slash Leninist, depending upon the issue. He's either a socialist, a Marxist, or a Leninist. He's absolutely against capitalism. He's against business. He's against individual freedom. There's nothing about this man that is American.
Yes! Oh, that felt really good. That was nice.
How does that feel? Try that one on for size. Does that fit?
Telling you, that's how you run with it, right there. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Michael, you got it. That's why the show is so good.
Savage.
With socialized medicine, invading the American medical system under Obama and Pelosi. There are still many questions on how, if at all, this can possibly work. In a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, the president of the Galen Institute, Grace Marie Turner, said we can look at Romney Care as an example, and the outlook is not good. Now she joins us to talk about this article. Grace Marie Turner, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's really a pleasure to talk with you and really important, I think, to be talking about health reform at this crucial time. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
What is it about Romney Care that is similar to Obamacare?
We really are going to be able to get a preview, I think, of how Obamacare would affect the country by looking at what's happened in Massachusetts. You know, we talk about the states being laboratories for democracy. Well, Massachusetts passed many of the provisions in the Obamacare plan, and we've now had 3 years to see how this is working out. It was passed under former governor, Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney in 2006, and he said on Fox News Sunday recently that this is the ultimate conservative plan. Well, that's causing him a lot of trouble with conservative voters who see that the architecture between Romney Care and Obamacare is very, very similar. They both have an individual mandate that requires people to purchase health insurance defined by the government or pay a penalty. Businesses are required to participate or pay a fine. They both rely on government-mandated purchasing exchanges that also provide a way to control private health insurance. Many of the uninsured are covered through an expansion of Medicaid, arguably the worst public health insurance program in the country. And there is a huge plethora of new government boards and agencies. Both of them require this same kind of architecture. And for Romney to say that the Massachusetts plan is the ultimate conservative plan is going to make it very hard for him in the 2012 elections, the primary elections, if he does decide to run for president, to say that, you know, that Obamacare is a completely different thing. He's not going to get away with that in a primary challenge. He might be able to get away with it in speeches, but not when he's trying to argue with people like Mitch Daniels or others who see the truth of what's happened in Massachusetts.
Well, what happened there?
When you look at what's happened in Massachusetts, it tells us we should not be even thinking about going there. When you look at some of the things that they've done to increase the number of people with insurance, about two-thirds of the people who are newly insured are insured because they've either gotten free government insurance or heavily subsidized insurance by the taxpayer. So it's hugely costly. The treasurer of the state of Massachusetts, a Democrat, said this week that the bill and the plan is about to bankrupt the state. They can't afford it. We also see that costs in Massachusetts for health insurance are higher than any place else in the country. The total annual cost for health insurance is about $14,000 a year, and spending in Massachusetts is 27% higher than the national average. So Massachusetts has not achieved what the goals that people say will happen if we have national health reform, that health insurance will get cheaper. It's gotten more expensive, not just because Massachusetts is expensive in its own right, but most people argue because of the Romney Care plan. And they also said, what will happen is that we'll find fewer and fewer people have to go to emergency rooms to get their care, and therefore we'll save money there. Well, not true. About the hospital emergency room visits are 7% higher after Romney Care went into effect than they were before. And the large reason, the great majority of the people are going there because they can't find a private doctor to see them. The Massachusetts Medical Society recently did a survey, and it found that 56% of family physicians, internal medicine physicians, are no longer accepting new patients. The average wait for a doctor's appointment is about 44 days. So people are going to emergency rooms where it costs a lot more instead of going to see a private physician because they can't find one to see them.
Oh, my God.
So to say that we didn't do what President Obama is doing, which is what Mr. Romney has said, putting the government in charge of our health care. That's exactly what they did. And what's happening is what the next phase of Romney care is that the governor is now about to put price controls on health insurance. The health insurance, three out of four health insurance companies, only four health insurance companies left in the state of Massachusetts, three of four of them lost money last year. And they're saying they can only stay in business if they raise their rates this coming year. They want to raise them again up to 40%. Well, the governor's saying you're not going to be able to raise them more than 5%. So what's going to happen? They're going to start deleting services. They're going to start paying doctors and hospitals less. There are a number of hospitals, safety net hospitals, that treat a large number of indigent patients that find that they are on the verge of bankruptcy. Well, this is going to make it even worse if they are going to be paid, either the payments are stretched out or they're paid less. So we're seeing the next step is government price controls and restrictions on access rationing, which is exactly what we see in European countries that have tried to do the same thing. When government gets involved in trying to control our health sector, it gets it wrong. We see this has happened in Massachusetts, and this is an absolute preview of what will be happening if Obamacare becomes the law of the land.
Grace Marie Turner, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. It's really a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for this chance to talk with you and your audience, and I hope you'll have me back again. If people want to know more, can I ask them if they would visit our website at galen.org or our aggregation website to learn a lot about what's going on in the health system, not only just what the healthcare debate, not only what we're doing, but what others are doing at healthreformhub.org. Thanks so much, Michael.
Savage. Joining us now with an exclusive update is Robert Scott Bell.
Thanks again, Michael. Always good to be back with the Savage Nation. And, of course, this week, as we're looking at health tyranny on our shores, there's some incredible stories coming out, including that which is threatening to life, liberty, and property of all Americans. The mandate of the medical monopoly is something astounding. Here's this story, Avandia. Have you heard about this? The diabetes drug Avandia, very much in the news right now. Researchers' financial ties are questioned. And, of course, we've recognized conflicts of interest within so-called medical research for many years. In fact, this goes beyond even what I, as bad as I've thought it had been. Now listen to this. The review authors found that 94% of the researchers who penned positive studies about the drug Avandia, now causing all kinds of heart problems in patients, have been paid by pharmaceutical companies.
What?
Why? Yeah, just lay it on out. Pay him, let him write it, and everybody goes on the drug. And, of course, what happens? The FDA approves it. Due to these conflicts of interest, the system is indeed broken. Of course, if we were free to know these things and if we were free to understand that the FDA is not looking out for the health or safety of the American people, we might be more cautious when we question our doctor about what we should be doing. And, of course, the doctors also would likely be more cautious about prescribing things because they were approved by the federal government, which is no certain guarantee that it is safe. In fact, when I hear something is FDA approved, I question it even with more veracity because of what we have seen in this regard. And, you know, how else can government protect us? The absurdities. In your hometown, I was born at NYU so many years ago. New York City, what are they thinking? They want to take the bake out of bake sales. How are we going to protect the public? Everybody's becoming obese. Well, now they're going to stop bake sales, or at least limit them. Limit children's exposure to bake sales. There is also the matter, and I quote here from this story, of what to call these erstwhile bake sales. Among the more cynical suggestions from a few boiling mad parents were names like prepackaged corporate drunk food sale. Because in this ban on bake sales, they'll actually allow you to sell Twinkies 24/7. There is no limitation on the sale of prepackaged food, of which, okay, government says, well, we've approved it, it's sanctioned, there are appropriate nutrient labels on there, so you can sell all the Twinkies you want. We don't want kids to be obese, so we don't want you doing home cooking and selling it to the kids, because then they're going to get fat You know, this isn't about calories. This is about toxins. You can't put in a genetically modified corn syrup. And, you know, not many people are home cooking with genetically modified corn syrup, Michael. They're actually using real stuff, real sugar and things. Not an endorsement of overindulging, but simply the fact that if you're left to your own baked goods at home, you're likely not producing these toxic things approved by government. And the kids would actually be better off with home-baked sales. But no, it's government to the rescue again. The insanity in New York City trying to ban or limit exposure by children in the public school government indoctrination centers to the dangers of bake sales.
Unbelievable.
And, of course, Congress, you know, here we are dealing with political monstrosity wrongly referred to as health care reform. Now we have the descent into even more medical monopoly. You know, where are they going to kick it down the road to our kids and grandkids and paying for it? I think even if those of there are deluded enough to think that government could take care of themselves better than they could, which is certainly not even in my mind arguable, because I could teach a fourth grader how to eat better. But the government thinks it's all about mandating drugs. The Democrats think it's all about getting drugs to grandma and grandpa, much less the kids. Will we be able to, just like the bake sales they want to ban, will we be able to refuse the Ritalins of the world, the ADHD drugs, the disease with no definitive diagnosis? And of course, since now everybody's going to be mandated or forced into accepting medical coverage approved by government, will we have the right of refusal to take care of our children the way we believe, or have children become the de facto possessions of the federal government? You know, people aren't thinking about this very clearly, I don't think, particularly on the left when they say, oh, well, it'll help people. Well, will it? Do those poor people, those inner city youth really suffer from ADHD drug deficiency diseases? There is no vitamin R. There is no vitamin Ritalin. And I know you've covered it numerous times here on the Savage Nation. It needs to be said again. Do you want government dictating to you how to care for your health? And the thing is, they already do. And they have for many years, as the medical monopoly has descended upon us over the course of the 20th century. Going back, and I know how much you love history, and as do I, Michael, the Flexner Report of 1910, which is basically instituted with the express purpose of wiping out any competition to petrochemical medicine.
Why do you say that?
At that time, there were homeopathic medical schools. There were herbal and eclectic schools of medicine and thought. And there were a lot of herbal healers, different healers. Now, some would argue, well, they weren't regulated enough. Well, for goodness sake, how has man, woman, and child been healed before the dawn of the FDA? Of course, it was the use of vitamins, minerals, trace minerals coming in from food, coming in from plant medicinals. And even over 200 years ago, with the dawning of a new system of medicine by Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, weirdly enough, the only physician in Washington, D.C. to be honored with his own memorial and statue, Dr. Samuel Hahnemann, the founder of homeopathic medicine in Germany, well over 200 years ago. Mainstay of medicine around the world. And yet so many doctors who would like to utilize it are drummed out of their profession, which again was the result of the Flexner Report, where they wiped out competition in medicine. In medical education, and it became institutionalized as a government-sponsored entity or through these private foundations that wiped out competition. And then we get to this other fundamental concept. Do we really need to license physicians? Honestly, think about it. I mean, there's board certification that tells you a heck of a lot more about ability and training than any license could do, which, of course, we know really was set up to limit competition, to eliminate anybody who would compete or limit the number of docs in a given area. Now, the doctors I talk to, they all are in favor. They're all in favor of freedom. They don't mind competition. They're confident enough in their abilities that they can attract customers, clients, patients. But yet, certain industries have bought certain favors of the federal government. And of course, that's in evidence by the Pelosi Obamacare mandates. Freedom is not the cause of our problem. It never has been. And if you're still confused out there, not so much in the Savage Nation, I don't believe, the why government takeover of healthcare is a bad idea, they should just ask about what is the law of the economy? You know, this basic concept, you want to get, you know, the most out of every mile, the most out of every drop. And of course, the ability to pay for something that can't be paid for is not part of what I would consider rational concepts in moving forward, in having health for our American brethren, for our children and their children. Pelosi's talking about, yeah, we were talking to the six-week-old babies about how important this is to them. To what? To enslave them? To imprison them to a debt that can't be repaid? And of course, what is the inevitable outcome of overextending ourselves in this way? Borrowing ourselves into oblivion, printing ourselves into oblivion, taxing ourselves into oblivion. Of course, there are two outcomes possible. One, you would have to say, is default. At a certain point, you realize it just can't be paid. And of course, default, bankruptcy. The other option is hyperinflation. How would you argue that either of those options is really great for your kids or grandkids, which is what these mandates are, which is what the growth of government, which is why the founders warned us against this and wanted us to live within our means. We certainly can't borrow our way into prosperity as individuals. We will bankrupt ourselves. And we don't have the ability to print money like the Federal Reserve System when Congress abrogated its basic authority and obligation and responsibility to coin money and regulate the value thereof. Not to outsource it to some semi-private entity of international bankers with no allegiance to any nation or state, only to themselves.
Exactly.
But there we go. We can have government banning bake sales. We can certainly have government turning a blind eye to the fact that 94% of all the researchers talking positive about Avandia were paid by the pharmaceutical industry. Another amazing story here. Will they mandate, under more of these medical monopoly mandates, the use of statin drugs for everybody? And Michael, you've done this so well over the years, like no other talk host out there in the nation, talking about the danger of statin drugs, the fact that cholesterol doesn't even cause heart disease. And of course, I could see a time when they're just going to put it in the water. I mean, heck, it practically already is, because when you get that stuff out of your body, those that are on these medicines, they end up recycling them through the tap water, coming back in, you're drinking it anyway. Who needs healthcare reform? You've got all the drugs you need in the tap water. Just drink it.
I'm sick of this.
So Zocor, now at risk, or they say risk to muscles. All statin drugs, and they acknowledge this, I quote this from the article, all statin drugs carry a risk of muscle damage, but new data suggests that this risk may be particularly high for the 80 milligram dose of Zocor. Well, of course, if they all carry that risk, how are they still on the market? Rhabdomyolysis, muscle wasting disease, congestive heart failure, Alzheimer's as they lower cholesterol, which is vital, vital to the brain, to the nervous system, to neurological integrity. They want to zap your body so it has no cholesterol. And of course, we're facilitating an iatrogenic form of Alzheimer's for the baby boomers and beyond who have bought into this phony concept that cholesterol is the great Satan, when in fact it's the cholesterol-lowering drugs that are facilitating our decline in cognitive ability. The fact of the matter is, the studies have shown that longevity is associated with higher cholesterol levels, not lower. And Michael, congratulations and thank you for acknowledging that for your audience as well, because you're, again, one of the few rational, sane outlets in warning the people of the dangers of government-sanctioned medicine. Let there be a free market. As I said, we haven't had that in many decades, but that is the solution to our problem, freedom, not tyranny. I mean, our founders didn't write the Constitution. We didn't declare independence from Great Britain so that we would have one day a nanny state forcing drugs and other medicaments on our children simply because they accept the benefit that they don't know they don't have to, because, as again, once you have acknowledged religious freedom on our shores, it isn't just the Amish exception. It isn't just the Christian Scientist exception. You have a religious right, an obligation to care for your family the way you believe. The federal government is a false religion here, and they cannot provide that which you can provide to yourself any better than you can. In fact, it's much worse. It's much more dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So where do we go from here?
Well, Michael, I think that the Democrats in this case don't realize that a country is too big for its britches when it can no longer pay for its britches in regards to this medical care. And honesty is not typically a trait ascribed to politicians, much less Democrats. But a moment of truth slipped through the lips of Democrat U.S. Rep. Tom Perillo when he admitted that Congress will keep stealing from us as long as we allow it.
Hmm. Where can we read more?
If you want to know more, just check it out. I've got links up at the blog at robertscottbell.blogspot.com. By the way, I'll be lecturing on how to deal with immune deficiency, what to do if you decide to say no to vaccinations. Great group of health freedom heroes going to be gathering together, trying from the grassroots level restore liberty to this nation. Hope to see you all at the Health Freedom Expo this weekend in Long Beach, California. Thanks again, Michael.
Thanks for the report, Robert.
Savage.
Pelosi the Hammer came out after she hammered America with Obama's socialized medical bill, and she spoke to the press. Apparently, she didn't get the fawning response she expected from the servile flatterers in the media.
Good evening. I know you're there. I can hear the...
Good morning.
Is it morning? Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yes,
almost. Not in California, which is my watch set, too.
What a bizarre, twisted laugh this woman has. And then she went straight into patting herself on the back.
As we have all said many times, it's great pride and great humility that we undertook this great act of patriotism that occurred on the House floor tonight. It honored the vows of our founders for us to be a land of opportunity all the way back to before we were a country in the Declaration of Independence, talking about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That defines opportunity. So, too, did this bill tonight.
How could she have both great pride and humility? And then she went on to talk about some of the hidden provisions of the bill.
Opportunity for affordable education, lower the cost of higher education, that's one part of the bill. And the other part of the bill, the main part of the bill, to provide quality, affordable health care for all Americans, enabling people to have the freedom to have life, a healthier life, to have the liberty to pursue their own happiness. They could change jobs without losing health care. They can become self-employed. They could start a small business. They could follow their passion. And wouldn't that be great for them and for our economy and for our society? So we believe that this act that was passed tonight is an all-American act, honoring our founders' vows to the future and honoring our commitment to the future by making it a healthier one and a fiscally sound one.
You haven't honored the founders, Nancy. You've disgraced them. Naturally, she credited Obama.
This happened because we had the leadership of the President of the United States as a visionary, as a strategist, and as a persuader. It happened because in the House, our leadership worked not as a team, but as a close partnership and with teamwork with all of the members, the Democratic members of the House.
And Obama credited the zombies who demanded socialized medicine on his orders.
Today's vote answers the dreams of so many who have fought for this reform. To every unsung American who took the time to sit down and write a letter or type out an email hoping your voice would be heard, it has been heard tonight. To the untold numbers who knocked on doors and made phone calls, who organized and mobilized out of a firm conviction that change in this country comes not from the top down, but from the bottom up, let me reaffirm that conviction. This moment is possible because of you.
And then he claims the bill to be bipartisan after failing to get a single vote from the other party in a two-party system.
Now, it probably goes without saying that tonight's vote will give rise to a frenzy of instant analysis. There'll be tallies of Washington winners and losers, predictions about what it means for Democrats and Republicans, for my poll numbers, for my administration. But long after the debate fades away and the prognostication fades away and the dust settles, what will remain standing is a healthcare system that incorporates ideas from both parties.
Of course, Henry Nostelman, the Democrat socialist, was crowing on the floor of the House, his nostrils widened.
Today is an historic moment. We'll take decisive votes to provide quality, affordable health care for all Americans. This is a goal that presidents of both parties have sought for 100 years. We must act. The status quo is unsustainable.
And as part of a last-minute push, the Demon Cats concocted a scandal by trying to paint the Obamacare protesters as racists. Here's the most racist of all congresswomen, in my opinion, Sheila Jackson Lee.
Over the last 2 days, human beings who happen to be members of Congress have been called the N-word, have been spat on. And just recently, someone asked me why my braids were so tight.
I'll take a call now on the Savage Nation. Here's San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Giovanni, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say thank you very much for your advice on taking niacin to control
my triglycerides and my total HDL, and it's come out.
How much niacin are you taking a day?
Right now, I worked up to 2,500 milligrams a day, but I don't.
Unbelievable. You know, I myself, you won't believe it. You know, practice what you preach. I cannot take niacin. Do you know that if I take niacin, I get severe muscle aches the same way I would with one of the Lipitor-like compounds?
I know exactly what you mean. That's what
happens. It's terrible. I mean, I just can't live with it. So I decided I'm going to live until I die, and that's the end of it. I mean, there's quality. I don't want to limp around with low cholesterol. I can limp around with low cholesterol and walk around like a cripple. Or I can have high cholesterol and upside-down lipids and be able to run. But I'm glad it works for you. I mean, it's a miracle. Niacin, 3 grams a day. It'll reverse any of those cholesterol problems. And thank Abe Hoffer for that. He died last year, MD, PhD. One of the greatest unsung heroes in the history of medicine is Abe Hoffer. Do you know his story, Giovanni? Let me tell it on the Savage Nation. He died at about 90. He was a Canadian doctor, a lifetime believer in the good of man. In the early 50s, he discovered that niacin lowered cholesterol, and he had a choice to make. He said to me once, he said, I could patent this and make a fortune. Instead, he gave it to the world for free because he wanted the betterment of mankind instead. Would you believe this? A doctor did a thing like that in those days. Who would do that today? You'd call him a fool, wouldn't you? Well, if there's a heaven, Abe Hoffer is in it. That's all I can tell you.
Savage.